There is nothing more beautiful than a snowstorm, and as I record this latest episode of the Behind the Mic podcast, and I thank you for listening and tuning in and all of your great comments and the likes, the shares. That's what we're all about now in 2023, but do appreciate the support. Make sure you listen on any platform. Mainly, people get it now through Spotify, which is an official partner of Anchor, and iTunes. So we thank that. I have all social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Behind the Mic podcast. Search it. You can find it. You can also do, I guess it's old school now, email antonellis.michael@gmail.com. But yeah, like the rating, give it a 5. Give it whatever you want. No, give it a 5. So it's March 14th. It's Pi Day, which is a great built-in excuse to get pizza, right? I always look for creative ways to get unhealthy food once in a while. I have to be careful of what I eat because I'm diabetic, but I can sneak in some pizza once in a while. You have to. But I do think there it is beautiful, and my full-time job at Framingham State was canceled today. So I have a full Tuesday home, looking out to my left, and I see the wonderful snow. I don't mind snow. It's been very mild here in Massachusetts, too. I mean, the winters here are completely different from when I grew up. I've gotten this question before about the podcast, and I went through some soul-searching and decision-making on how I was going to cultivate it and create it. Many have said, hey, why didn't you make it a baseball podcast? At the time, I was working for the Sea Dogs when this came out. And I made a difficult decision. I thought about doing a Mike Antonellis All Sea Dogs podcast. And then in the back of my mind, well, what if I leave? And I wasn't trying to be negative, but if I do leave, it'd be weird to rename it. I didn't really like the names that I was thinking about for baseball. The Behind the Mic, just it was perfect because it's two meanings. And the reason it's spelled, and I probably have told this story before. The reason it's behind the M-I-K-E, because it's behind me. What's my backstory? But I'm actually behind the mic. Yeah, I think you all figured that out in my southern voice. I think you did. So, that name I loved. But here's my ultimate decision. I remember going to a cafe in Portland and thinking about this, the decision. If I wanted to do a podcast, I wanted to be able to talk about things that were non-baseball, things that inspire me, things that I'm doing. And as much as I love baseball, it is a career that I've been in for a long time. And when you're in a career in sports for one sport, like I've called over 3,200 baseball games, you're not the same kind of fan as you are before. And I don't take that as a negative. You start to get interested in other things because you're saturated with that baseball. But my ultimate decision was this. I thought about how my podcast could be sliced and slivered in terms of the audience, right? If I did a Sea Dogs baseball-related podcast, then people who didn't like baseball wouldn't listen. People who like baseball but didn't like the Red Sox or the Sea Dogs wouldn't listen. And maybe people who just didn't like sports wouldn't listen. So I'd be slivering my audience down to a niche, which is not a bad thing. I think niches are good. But I wanted to have the freedom to do anything. And as I grow from the first year I've done this to now, my whole life has changed. I'm still broadcasting, but I'm working at a college, working in alumni relations. I've been doing acting. I've been gaming, daily fantasy. I've gotten into sports betting because it's legal in Mass. But I also am inspired by people. And I'm still a big believer. I think we are still way too focused on the negatives. I think that for all the nasty campaigns you'll see on Twitter or Instagram, I believe that 90% percent of the people in a certain thing. Let's take, for instance, when you see somebody racist. I don't believe that that's a high number of people in the world. I could be wrong, but I don't. So I'm optimistic. But I love getting inspired. I love people who are trying to become something that have passion and don't quit and have a good story. Keisha Graves is my guest today. She is someone I interviewed for Framingham State. She's an alum. It's going to be a dual podcast, which I've done one of these before. But Keisha inspired me so much. She's gone through some health issues that did not stop her. The video of this will be on my YouTube page as well, at Mike Antonellis Media. She has big-time goals. She's a designer. She wants to meet Tommy Hilfiger. And she is a ball of happiness, and you're going to love her. Here's Keisha. Here's another episode of Behind the Mic. Well, Keisha, this is great. I meet you for the first time virtually. That makes a lot of sense in the age we live in.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
You know, I'm also an alum as well, so it's nice to interview an alum that's doing great things. So thanks for joining us here.
Thank you for having me.
Nice setup in the background.
Thank you.
You know, that's the thing nowadays. You really have to bring the background game.
Yeah, you do. Like you said, everything with the day and age we live now, it's like, yeah, I'm like, sometimes I forget what's back there. But, you know, I'm all about fashion. So, of course, I'm like, my background in my office space has to bring me joy and excitement.
Now, are those Christmas lights in the closet there, or?
Those are actually, they're called fairy lights.
Okay.
So they're like fairy lights, like people put them in their room and things like that. I'm the type, like, at night, like, I need to sleep in complete darkness. So
okay.
This is, like, my office space, so I would never put, like, these fairy lights in my bedroom because it needs to be pitch black when I'm sleeping. No TV on, no nothing.
So, yeah, you could
call fairy lights, and I get them from Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
Second place where I spend all my money. It's awful.
It's great, though, right?
I know it is. It's so convenient. I even get my groceries from there.
Hey, nothing, you know, nothing wrong with that.
Right.
2008 graduate, you're so let's break down what you're doing right now. Fashion designer, Girls Chronically Rock, and founder of the GCR Adaptive Project. So let's start with the first one, the Girls Chronically Rock, which is a great name.
Oh, thank you. So yeah, Girls Chronically Rock, I started in 2017. So as you probably know, I did study fashion design and merchandising at Framingham State University. So in school, you know, I love like going to classes, sewing, and things like that. So I always knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur and own my own business and kind of be like the successful, you know, fashion designer. I looked up to designers such as Betsy Johnson, Kimora Lee Simmons, and Tommy Hilfiger. And so, of course, as you know, life takes an unexpected turn. So it was around 2010 when I was actually getting my master's degree at Cambridge College, where I started to get symptoms within my body. And that kind of just came out of nowhere, honestly. So I was just like, what's going on with my body? Like, you know, I would be walking, I would repeatedly fall, or, you know, just things weren't adding up. And so I go to the doctors, they kind of examine me and tell me, you know, we need to do some testing because it might be something more neuromuscular. So at that time, with all the testing and results, it came back that I was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy. And my type specifically is called limb girdle muscular dystrophy. And what that is, it pretty much affects like the neck down to pretty much the feet. So like, for instance, if I was to meet you in person and you're going to try to give me a handshake, it's kind of hard to like, say, extend out my arm to give you that handshake unless like I kind of get like some support from it. But, you know, it's definitely has been challenging. So at that time, of course, as you can imagine, I'm like, here I am. I feel like I just graduated Framingham, getting my master's degree because I want to get like more of the business side of it. I'm like, I want to be the successful fashion designer. But I'm like, now what does my future hold? What is going to happen? And just looking back of like how much I feel like I took for granted. I'm like, just being at Framingham State, I was at Horace Mann dorm, you know, walking up the flights of stairs on the third floor of with my groceries, things for school, books, backpacks. And it's like, wow. And it's like, now it's like, I wouldn't even be able to do that.
Yeah.
And so I was in denial for quite some time, not knowing again what the future hold, what was going to happen. And so after some time of kind of like opening up, start blogging about my symptoms of what I was going through, I was like, you know what? I'm a true believer in things do happen for a reason. So I thought I can still kind of do my fashion business, but kind of maybe pivot a little bit. So I thought, let me try to create something that kind of inspires and motivate others in the disability community. So I start, why not start with a t-shirt line? Because I love graphic t-shirts. I love wearing different graphic t-shirts with like different meanings, different things like that. And so I wanted to create something of kind of like what I was feeling through my journey of, you know, being diagnosed with muscular dystrophy. So that's how Girls Chronically Rock was kind of founded. And how I came up with the name is that I kind of just, a lot of my creative ideas come to me when I'm sleeping. So, you know, when I'm sleeping, I knew I wanted something with the word chronic in it for chronic illnesses, but I didn't know how I wanted to incorporate it. So I honestly was just lying in bed one night. I thought, Girls Chronically Rock. It sounded empowering, powerful. Yeah. And then I just kind of ran with it from there. And then I started off with Etsy, you know, selling them on there. And then I'm like, you know what? It's time to get an actual website. So then that's when it, you know, officially launched. But that's when Girls Chronically Rock was formed.
That's fantastic. I mean, you took a negative and turned it into a double positive.
Yeah, I try. Yeah.
So I have to imagine you've inspired a lot of people that have reached out to you and have ordered shirts from you. You must have heard a lot of stories.
I have. And that's honestly what keeps me motivating and inspired myself. Because I don't look at myself like, oh, yeah, like the description may say, oh, yeah, Keisha's a motivational speaker or inspiring. But it's like, you know, I'm just like the same old girl. It's like, whatever. Yeah. I'm not like this celebrity. I'm not trying to, you know, inspire or like, yes, I'm looking to inspire. But it's like, I'm like, oh, like it gives me joy when I do get messages or people write to me like, oh, Keisha, I understand and I love your story. Or my friend, my family member has MS or muscular dystrophy. And that makes me feel so good because it's like, oh, like they understand my mission and my movement. And I appreciate, you know, those messages I get. And then, of course, when I get an order placed, you know, from someone even just supporting a family member or friend that has, you know, a disability or chronic illness. And that could be from MS, muscular dystrophy, lupus, so many different, like, you know, invisible disabilities that are out there. And so when I get like those orders placed, I'm like, oh, that makes me feel so good. And so I love placing orders. I do everything from right here in my office space, package and everything up. But I love just getting those messages. It just definitely makes me feel good.
And now with the technology we have, you can connect with people, I would say, a lot easier. So this is a good time in what you're doing to have it happen now in the 2022 and 23. And who knows what's going to happen with the technology as it grows.
Yeah, definitely agree. And this is like when this pandemic happened, yes, it was unfortunate, but it just kind of opened up everyone's eyes. Because like you said, with the technology, we can do everything online, virtual. And it's like, this is something that myself and us people in the disability community have been requesting for so long. I mean, Look how easy it was. It's like, you see how it wasn't so hard. I had a job in the past of I was working for Tommy John and I was doing merchandising at the store and I specifically, you know, requested accommodations because my muscular dystrophy progressed in and I was able to walk then, but with a cane. And because of those certain accommodations, they let me go. And so that was heartbreaking because I'm like, see, this is why people come with someone with a disability may not come forward and be so honest. Cause it's like, you know, look at, I tell you what's going on with me. And then you kind of like dismiss me and don't accommodate me in my accommodation. So I'm like, look at that to see how the world just pivot during the time, like see school, now doctor's appointments, you can virtually. And I'm like, see, was that so hard? It's like, you know, it can be done.
Yeah. That's a great point because I don't think people realize that in your situation, we're, you know, a lot of people are grateful that they can work remote, but there were opportunities lost for people who were disabled or for any reason. But I'm always amazed that that was an obvious idea and we had the technology, yet there was such resistance to it.
Right.
Maybe it had to do with trust that
maybe,
you know, afraid people weren't going to work hard from home. But I mean, I don't know. I mean,
yeah, to me, as long as you're doing the work, it's like, who cares where you're working from?
I agree. Yeah, I definitely agree. Yeah. Now, you brought this partnership to Framingham State, so we'd love to hear about that.
Yeah, so that's when the GCR Adaptive Project comes in place. That is my nonprofit. That is my second baby. I tell everyone that's kind of like the spinoff of Girls Chronically Rock. So what that is that I wanted to create something to incorporate also where the school I graduated from, Framingham State. So I remember I reached out to like think the fashion department. All the professors that I think I had went at that time were like totally gone. And so I was like, you know what? I want to present this GCR Adaptive Project because I feel like it's so important for the fashion programs to kind of incorporate and know what it's like to create adaptive, accessible fashion for people with disabilities. Because I'm like, here I was in school, you know, I learned a lot at Framingham, but it's like at the time, I also didn't have a disability. I also wasn't thinking adaptive fashion or accessibility. Is this button going to work, you know, for me to get dressed on a daily basis? Or is that button going to work from open and closing the door? So it's like my whole perspective has changed. But of course, I'm still always about fashion. And so that's when I reached out to Framingham, and I was so excited when I heard back from Professor Singhi. I always pronounce her name wrong. Sorry, but yes. And I was so grateful that, you know, she reached back out, and we've been doing the program now, so I want to say for about 3 years. So I'm hoping we can pick it back up of the fall of this year, 2023. But I've been working with, you know, great students. And again, like you said, with this technology, we were able to do it virtually.
Yeah.
Because of course, Framingham is kind of like the ride or the accessible lift doesn't go all the way to Framingham. So it was like, I was unable to come exactly in person, but I was grateful that, you know, Professor Singh, who was able to, you know, do it virtually. I was able to talk to the students, let them know my everyday struggles of getting dressed fashion wise, and what the students have come up with, I mean, is amazing. You can see it on the GCRadaptivep.org website of the students, of like, they made adaptive swimsuits. A couple made like adaptive like dresses, and just to make it easier to take on and off on a daily basis. I'm like, yes, that's the thing. We have a disability, but we still like to look fashionable. We still like to go out, have a good time. We still date. It's just, we need help. And you know what I mean? It just may take a little longer, even with caregiver help. And so, and I'm like, and most importantly, we want to feel confident within our own skin. So I think that's so important. And I'm honored that Framingham, you know, has decided to partner with the GCR Adaptive Project. Cause I'm like, what other better school than to start with where I graduated from? And I learned my knowledge of fashion skills, merchandising skills. So it's amazing what the kids, you know, they processed everything. They like just created amazing, amazing things. Again, please check out the website. And it's like, you know, it's awesome because I'm like, when they graduate now or get a job wherever, they're like, oh yeah, I know about adaptive fashion. I know that, you know, because I want to say, I think it was professor that told me that. I think it was a student, I forget her name, like went on to Nike, and they was even impressed with, you know, the adaptive clothing that she had made, you know, in that class. And so that made me feel good. Cause I'm like, that's what I want. So I'm looking to incorporate it in other universities, like, you know, Mass Art, FIT. Cause again, I'm like, it's so important. This adaptive fashion, they say in the next few years is going to be like $1 billion industry.
That's fantastic.
So I'm like, come on, let's go.
Yeah. and you're like right at the start of it. That's
yes. Fantastic. Yes. Yeah. I would like to think so.
Yeah. The fashion department at Framingham is such a great alum base, and just the connections there. I see it on LinkedIn, but that's a real strong affinity at Framingham State.
Yeah.
You stay in touch with a lot of people that you were in school with?
Yes, I do. I still like, we follow each other on like Instagram, you know, nice. TikTok with all this technology. And looking back, I made a joke with one of my former classmates back then. I'm like, imagine when we was in Framingham, that's when like Facebook just was created.
Yeah.
I'm like, we're so old. So, and then now it's Instagram and everything, but it was amazing because I was able to attend, I want to say it was a speaking engagement that the Professor Singh, who, and I want to say it was Arlene, that they paid for transportation for me to come out to Framingham. It was like right before the pandemic. So it was like amazing because I'm like, that all worked out just in time. It was like, I want to say March, and I was able to speak to the fashion students and the art students, and it was amazing just to be back on campus to see how much has changed. I'm like, to see Dunkin' Donuts there. I'm like, the cafeteria changed. I said, oh my goodness, look at this. I was like, we missed out. So it was nice to see like everything kind of like revamped, and now like you said, new technology. And I was like, wow, like Dunkin' Donuts. I'm like, they got it made over here. So it was excited and just brought back so many memories and emotions of being back on campus. Cause I'm like, wow, you know, I was walking up and down the stairs, like doing whatever. So it's like, it's how much we realize how much we take life for granted and how your life can change in an instance. But it was nice to be back on campus.
Yeah. I graduated in 97. So the changes.
Okay.
For me.
I can imagine.
Yeah. The Dunkin' is a daily stop for all of us that work on campus. Yeah.
I think it's one of the busiest. Nice to see that. And someone said, I think they might've been a Starbucks before that.
Before that. Yep.
Wow. I was like, check them out.
You got to have the coffee and the caffeinated. That's
Soon, like Framingham is probably going to put in like a whole restaurant maybe.
Yeah, be nice.
Yes.
Now, do you have some mentors that have helped you through this? I mean, I know, or have you kind of mentored yourself?
I would say I mentored myself, but I must say, like, joining different groups, like on Facebook, like Boston Business Women, Women Helping Women Entrepreneurship. I must say that has helped me along the way. It's all about, I tell people to this day, networking is key. I may not have known that when I was younger or take advantage of it, but networking, and you never know who knows who. And I have definitely did some accelerator programs in the past. I always tell people I recommend E4All. They are a great business accelerator program where, you know, they help businesses grow and adapt their business. And they even give out grants and funding. Like, they are amazing. They truly, truly help you with your business and want you to succeed. So that is one accelerator program that I did about, like, it was like last summer. And I just learned so much from them. And we still can't stay connected to this day with those mentors. So I still got some mentors from them. And again, just like I said, connecting with other people on social media and also other disabled business owners is amazing. Cause like I said, although I make it the support of family and friends, there's nothing like talking to somebody who gets and knows what it's like living with a disability every day. And then to find someone who, you know, is doing like content creating and, you know, running a business. I'm like, it's so dope and inspiring to see that.
That's great. Now, I assume in the next 5 years or 10, you want this to expand even more, right?
I hope so. The plan is my goals, and all I can do is take it day by day. And my goals is to get Girls Chronically Rock into Target retail channels. I've been emailing Target buyers on a daily basis. I'm like, let's go. I even reached out to TJX Corporations, which I know they have a good relationship with people at Framingham State, some of the professors. So I'm hoping they give me a chance. I'm looking to get Girls Chronically Rock in New York Fashion Week, LA Fashion Week. And then I'm looking to hopefully collaborate with one of my favorite designers I look up to, Tommy Hilfiger. Mm. I would love to do a Girls Chronically Rock GCR times Tommy Hilfiger collaboration, because I love it now. One of my designers that I looked up to, Tommy, now has an adaptive clothing collection, which I think is so dope. Because I'm like, to see like this designer I looked up to from small, I'm like, now he has an adaptive clothing collection for people with disabilities. So I'm like, that is so amazing. And I'm like, come on, we can do a collaboration. So I'm just hoping to maybe get his attention one way or another. But yeah, my goal is to build Girls Chronically Rock empire. That's my goal, is to get it into, like I said, the retail channels and continue to grow from there. Same with the GCR adaptive project. Like, I'm looking to get that into more universities and get this like an annual thing, like add it into the school's curriculum of creating adaptive fashion for disabilities. Because like I said, this is well known now. More designers are getting into it. Tommy Hilfiger, Target. So I'm like, let's go. The road is inclusive.
I love this. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is great. It's a great way to end the interview is on that note. You're very inspiring.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Hope you're inspired. It's a lovely story. A lovely human being. Keisha's fantastic, and she was a guest this week on the Behind the Mic podcast. Make sure to email me, antonellis.michael@gmail.com. Follow all my social media channels. Be inspired. Hug, love another. As I always say, as we end the podcast, peace and love.